Hi, it's DGAF. And this is season 4 of Sessions. Let's get it this year. Let's save the princess, right? Sound guy, what's in your cup? Are you sure? Okay. Week 21 of 50. Not ready. The session plus scoreboard check, part 2. So last you heard, I was even-ish after being up 1K or so right away in some semi-blurry session at Ocean's 11 on the evening of Saturday, May 22nd, 2021. Okay. So that happens, right? It's just a good problem to have, starting out winning and then trying to not end the session lower than that. I've been doing that almost always, but it's better than starting out stuck, right? Anyways, so I'm even-ish, and then I squeeze with Jack 9. It's just time. A bunch of people limp. It's 2-5-10. I squeeze with Jack 9, and I manufacture a lot of pots this way, and I can just, I check a lot of flops. If I'm, so I'm usually squeezing from the straddle or, one of the blinds, if I have a read on the straddle being weak or whatever. And, I flop top 2. So against my opponent, and it's Jack 9-3 or something like that. And so I check and they check, and I'm pretty sure they have a small pocket pair, and I know my image. And if you just check once, then you can just, and they check, you get to bet the turn in the river like you have ace high and you're bluffing. And I won $500 in this hand. So it's pretty easy, right? You squeeze with whatever hand. If you check flops, because your opponent's going to tell you what they have. And it also sets up, if you have a good hand, it sets up, now you're getting called by any pair for 2 streets if you check the flop. So pretty basic and pretty nice. And now a pro is coming in. Seat 3 is gone, and I go to seat 3 because it's just, there's more room. I've been in seat 4 all night, and they got the plexiglass walls up, and it's not comfortable. So you don't always want to spot a pro position, but in this case, I do. I want to have more room. Yeah. Okay. And now there's an interesting hand where we have a 5-way super bloater. So, 5 people in there for a 3-bet and 2-5-10. And the whale leads 400 on 5-deuce-3. And the pro, I thought it was an Italian pro, but it's an Australian pro. He goes all in for $700 and some dollars more. And it folds back to the... And it's 5-deuce-3-2-hearts. It folds back to the whale, and he folds jacks face up. And the pro, he asked the pro to show a card, and the pro showed a 4. So the pro had 3-bet preflop, and he had ace-4 suited, I'm almost positive. And that's nice living, right? To flop a straight when there's, 5 people in there for $100 or whatever, or $120. And, but pretty amazing fold by the whale. And this guy's, been playing pretty good. If you listen to part 1, he's made a lot of, not playing great, but his reads are on, right? And this is the guy that'll flip you off with two knuckles or 3, or wait, 2, your middle finger has 3 segments. He'll flip you off. He has one finger that has 2 segments and one that has 3, and he'll flip you off with either. You just tell him which one. This guy's awesome. And I'm glad he folded. And so now what's funny is I did spot this new pro, not a new pro, but some pro that's just new to our game. I spot him position because I wanted to get out of the 4 and the 5 at Ocean's 11 during plexiglass season is brutal. You can barely fit in there. You're kind of on a diagonal the whole time. Well, so I spot him, you can have this really narrow spot. And he went to the 2 seat when it opened. So no one likes those things. No one cares about position. We all just care about being able to get our shoulders in. And, So now the whale stacks the guy wearing the lucky stuff, who was a pretty cool guy and a guy you like playing with. Okay. And now the pro, the Australian pro, who I thought was Italian, plays a pot against the ex-athlete guy, and it's not a big pot, and the pro takes way too long in his hand, and then he grills the ex-athlete after the hand, like, what were you doing, were you bluffing, someone said this guy's a longtime pro. I don't know how you could still be doing that shit if you're a longtime pro, but maybe. Like, you just don't ask those questions, and you don't take too long and all that, and I don't know. I go to the bar because now it's after midnight and come back down and miss the world. So these are the notes I wrote, and that's kind of lyrical if you think about it. Go to the bar because now it's after midnight, come back down and miss the world. So what happened here was you can't drink on the floor after midnight, Ocean's 11, but you can drink in the bar till 2 a.m. So I went up there because I needed a pop, as they call it. And then I came back down and I flopped a combo and missed it. Okay. Is that, sound guy, do you like that as a lyric? Go to the bar because now it's after midnight. Come back down, miss the world. You don't? Cindy, do you? Okay, forget it. That's not a good lyric. Now who's in my game? The guy that did the weird thing with his neck that one time and I called him down with ace king on 8-7-5-9-4, I think it was, because he did this thing that I just had witnessed him doing against someone else when he was bluffing, and he's bluffing against me. It was his cracking the Oreos, pulling the top off an Oreo. That was his thing. Well, he's in my game, and he makes a good fold against the Australian pro starting to run hot. He folds two pair in a spot that two pair wasn't good, but I wouldn't expect him to fold, and I don't know. He's playing better on this night as well. And this is, you know, I mentioned this a couple times, but it's a lot of this podcast is me mentioning stuff for me, right? And I need to focus less on how hot people run. And I've been running pretty hot lately, right? You don't win a bunch of sessions in these games where there's five people in the pot and the rake's huge without running hot. So I have been, but this guy's, you know, running real hot. You know, when you have ace four and it's five people are in there for 120 and it comes deuce 3-5 and the whale has jacks, that's pretty sick, right? And, you know, he's running hot, and I need to focus less on this. And I've been less focused lately since I've been running good I've been running good. And, I don't know. So it's another reason I'm not ready. There are many reasons I'm not ready to play where I need to play to finish this journey off correctly, this session's journey. It's going to end in the biggest games and probably on stream. And I know that I'm not ready. And sometimes you got to be honest with yourself, right? Like, I like the way I think about hands. I like my reads, but there's all this other shit I got to work on. I got to get less busy, less stressed, less focused on variants, and, just work through the PTSD of a year I ran worse than I even want to talk about right now. Okay, let me take a sip of coffee and then we'll talk about the next hand. I opened 9-8 in the cutoff, and the button is the guy that did the weird thing with his neck when he was bluffing. And he calls and the whale calls. Okay, I have 9-8, three ways, and it comes king 9-8. And now the whale leads. The whale's out of position. I'm in the middle. And the guy with the neck is, in position behind me. The whale leads 15 into 45. So the straddle is off in this hand. And of course, that's why I flopped top. That's why I flopped bottom too. No. But king 9-8, he goes 15. I go 45, right? An amount that's going to keep him in with everything. Well, now I get cold called by the neck. The guy that does some weird thing with his neck when he's bluffing. And the whale folds now because this guy called. The turn's a jack, and I bet 120. And this guy with the neck will pay you off. And he calls. And so it's king 9-8 rainbow. And the guy led, the whale led weak, and I raised, and this guy called. So hopefully he just has a king, right? And the turn is a jack, and I bet 120, and he called. And the river is an X, and I bet 275. And he goes all in for 500 more. And I think for about 3 seconds in fold. So people, this guy is a whale and he is capable of bluffing, or, you know, he's, yeah, I guess you could call him a whale. The guy, the neck guy, right? He's capable of bluffing, but this is not a bluff line. You don't cold, like, this would be the most elaborate bluff line of all time to cold call a bet and a raise on a king, nine, eight rainbow, call on a jack, and then stuff without much money behind on the river on an X. No, this is just, he has something better than my two pair. So I folded, and it's an unfortunate hand, but some hands are fortunate and some are not. And the next hand I play, I open with pocket threes, and now the Australian Pro three bets, and I call, and the neck calls too. So the flop comes ace, six, deuce, rainbow. And the new pro, we check, and he forceful bets. Okay, so you three bet, and now you're forceful betting on ace, six, deuce, rainbow. That means you don't have a pair to me. I call with pocket threes and neck folds. And the turn's a jack, okay, check, check, and I'm going to win this hand, right? And then the river's a 10, and I check, and now he bets a lot. And I fold, and I start to tilt a little bit, and he's like, what? And he's like, so I got a little caught up with how good he's been running in the session. And I just got, you know, I'm so desperate in life to, like, to come up that, I don't know. I don't like when, I'm pretty sure he just had king, queen, right? And made running straight. And I tilted a little bit. And I'd forgotten that he doubled me up right when I got there. And he seemed a little confused, and rightfully so. I was just fucking desperate, man. I struggle with pros that run hot, and, like, you tell me what you have by, if you just bet like a normal amount or whatever on ace, six, deuce, or check it back, I can never win with threes. But when you forceful bet, I can just win with threes, unless you're gonna bink something, and in this case he did. And I don't know, but I kind of realized right after, like, oh shit, I need to, like, chill out, do some breathing, right, in my mask. And then I have a ace jack, and I squeeze, and the whale calls with ace five, and it comes queen five five. Okay, so the session's going the wrong way, right? And I didn't lose a ton because he played it very goofy, and I never made a pair. But yeah, it was like queen five five, 3-3. So you're gonna, like, pay off his tiny bet on the river, and he had ace five. Okay, so the next hand I play, I squeeze with king queen. So I'm playing good hands primarily, and neck calls behind me, right? I three bet with king queen, and neck cold calls, and whoever else calls, right? And it comes 9-4-4 with two diamonds, and I C bet, and the neck calls, and the other guy folds. It turns an offsuit 10, giving me a gut shot and two overs, and I check, and this is a spot where I check raise all in often, right? If I think you called and you have a pair, and, you know, like eights or sevens, and now you're gonna bet here trying to protect, I'm gonna jam, right? And well, he does bet, but he seems very strong to me, so I go from, you know, check jamming this to check folding. I don't know. It's a good spot, right? Like, you three bet, it comes 9-4-4, you C bet. The guy who cold called has, like, the mid pairs a ton. But of course, that could have flopped a set or turned a set on 9-4-4-10. And I just got a read that he was strong. Maybe he wasn't, but I felt like he was, and I folded. And that's all you can do. And then I go to the bar one more time because I'm stuck and I need a drink. No, don't judge me. I don't judge you, sound guy. You know all about needing a drink, don't you, buddy? No? Okay. So, first hand, back from the bar, I call, the whale opens, and I call with queen nine suited, and it comes 9-8 deuce, two clubs. I have queen nine of diamonds or something, and he bets, and I call. I have a top pair. Yeah, you're a whale. Let's go. The guy, the flip-off artist. And he, 9-8 deuce, two clubs. I call, I got queen nine. The turn's an offsuit seven. He bets again. Call. And the river is a queen of clubs. I river top two, the flush gets there, the straight gets there. Well, he block bets, okay? So he doesn't have that stuff, and this permits me to go all in with my top two when everything gets there on the river. And I do, and he calls immediately, and he has 9-7 offsuit. So we both flop top pair. He binked two pair. I rivered a better two pair as the flush and open ender got there, and he paid me off, and now he's very upset how bad he ran in that hand. And, I mean, he didn't run that bad. He ran bad. You know, 9-7, you know, he lost to queen 9, and it came 9-8-2. And so he was behind pre-flop and on the flop, but he did turn me. And but I had outs. You know, I could river an 8 or a queen and whatever. I'm just, you're not fooling top pair to him anyways. And there was a queen of clubs completing everything. And if he bets a bigger size, all I can do is call, or I can consider folding. But it just reeked of a blocker bet. And so I beat all the blocking bet hands. And so I can just shove using my image. I've come down from the bar twice. I saw him in the bar once. Yeah. And he called. And now I'm even. Good. So I got stuck and I got even. And then there's another, what used to be a new pro in the game. Some kid I used to play the 10-10 and 10-20 with back in the day at Ocean's 11. Him and his friend. And it's good to see him. He's a nice kid. Well, now he has two kids in a career. So that's how long that shit's been. And we're talking NBA. And he was saying, I got a couple bets in. I could bet Lakers against Suns, that series. And I bet Philadelphia will go farther than Brooklyn. And I got a price on that, right? And he was talking shit about Ben Simmons. And so I queen nine again, and I made top pair. And this guy remembers me and knows me, and I just got max value from him. Three streets. And then I said that was for Ben Simmons because I have a good rapport with him. And he just laughed because he just plays poker for fun now, right? He's still good, but plays for fun. Let me take a sip of coffee for fun. Okay. Pocket queen. I open. I call three bet. Yeah, I just call a three bet. Sure. Comes ace, jack, four, two-tone, and I fold. Okay. And then I bluff. I finally get the flip-off artist. Well, I got him. I made two pair against two pair. But I finally get him in a spot that feels like me. Feels like me at the poker table where he bet the river and I raised as a bluff. It was a pot where no one really had anything or wanted it too much. And maybe I bet the turn. And then he led the river. It just seemed like bullshit. And I couldn't beat his bullshit. And so I raised. And then he three-bet me. But I didn't waver in my read. I just knew what this was. And I four bet and he folded. Yeah. And so that feels good to four bet the river as a bluff and win. And it reminds me of back in the day at Commerce. Just people were very fancy this was during my second rise in poker. So the first one was at Ocean's 11 in Vegas. And the second one was when I had my kid and moved back to San Diego and had another one coming and I lit my money on fire. And then I played up in LA all the time, right? That was my second one. And this third one will be, I think, everywhere, San Diego, LA, and Vegas. And it's coming. I don't know. You can fade me if you want, but it's coming. Anyways, in my second one, people really, you know, 2012, 2013, they really went for it a lot. And I would have like five bets on the river just when, you know, you both know the other one's full of shit and neither of you has anything. And it's just a matter of who will keep going, right? And I used to just keep going five bet, six bet. And I don't know. Those are kind of fun where no one does anything to the river. And then someone tries to steal and then someone re-steals and someone re-steals. And that's what happened here. And it reminded me of a hand against Dan Zak, if you know who that is, played on Live at the Bike. I think he's an owner of Live at the Bike. He wasn't a no-limit player back when, during this time at Commerce. He was more of a mixed game player, but he played me heads up one time, no-limit, 20-40. And it was one of the most interesting hands I ever played. And it kind of just, this brought me back. And I don't have a ton of notes, so I'm going to tell you this story. The year is probably 2012. I'm trying to get flush again, and I'm playing 2040 No Limit heads up at the Commerce against a mixed game player who's very smart, obviously, and good at poker all around. But this is my specialty. And I apologize for the construction. I thought we had a day off of that shit, sound guy. And if you can hear that in the background, can't do anything about it. Sorry. But so here we are. It's probably 2012. I'm playing sober this year, and I'm starting to, you know, rise again. And I'm playing heads up 2040, probably at like 3 a.m. Right. And I open the button, min raise with pocket deuces. I used to min raise dark, and I haven't played heads up in so long, but that was always my thing. Just min raise button dark for a few reasons I don't need to get into. And he called. Okay. And it's very standard hand so far. And I pocket twos, and it came ace, queen, eight, rainbow. And he checked, and I checked back. And then the turn was a seven. This is not exact, but close enough. The texture is correct, right? Turn is a seven, and now he leads. And I raise, and he calls. It seems like he's gonna fold. Like he can't call the river, right? That's just the read. So I raise with deuces on ace, queen, eight, seven. Just to rewind, I open dark to 40. He called. I looked down. I pocket deuces. Good. Ace, queen, eight, rainbow. He checked. Check back. Turn seven. He led. And now I'm going to raise because people check back big hands on this flop, right? As a preflop raiser, they usually continuation bet with weak hands. And I have something that's different that has no backdoor equity. And anyways, I raise and he calls. And the river pairs the board, right? And he checks. And I bet, just in case he had, like, he was just calling one time. I don't even really love this bet, but I did bet, and he raised, and it didn't seem, I think I'm repping, like, you know, I'm repping flop sets and pretty well here. It's interesting to raise, and anyways, if I three bet, he can't call, right? Even if he has trips, because I've been playing very methodical, I'm sober, and I three bet, and he jammed, right? And I had deuces, and the board was ace, queen, eight, seven, maybe eight. And now I thought, like, well, no, he just has so much heart, and what can he jam? Like, he would have three bet any hand that could actually four bet jam here. And so I called with deuces, and I was good, and that was the end of our match. And that was before he was a, you know, no limit player, and I just remember that hand. You know, it wasn't maybe those exact cards, but that was the correct texture and the action pretty much. And I do, that's the stuff I like, is that, I mean, obviously that's more fun, right? Like, each person's trying to win the pot, right? You're playing against someone that has a lot of heart and is going to, you know, try and win pots. It's different than what I'm playing these days of just, you know, trying to get people to fold and, like, trying to squeeze out value against people who just are never going to bluff and whatever. So, I don't know. Hopefully you guys like that little trip down memory lane. And again, sorry about the construction outside my granny flat here. It was been quiet, and sound guy promised me he would, hopefully it's edited out by now. Okay. So the next hand is, I have pocket nines, and the triathlete pro is in the game, and he opens. And on his sweatshirt, it says 999. And I think this is a rapper who recently got shot, I think. And I don't know what the 999 is, but I have pocket nines, and I just call out of position, and I said, we probably have the same hand. And because, you know, I've been to the bar a couple, two, three times, and, you know, I'm always exhausted and delirious, and I have nines, and his sweatshirt says 999. So I say, I think we probably have the same hand. Stupid, but I got to entertain myself. And it comes deuce, deuce, six, right? And this person, this triathlete pro plays pretty straightforward with me. But I'm going to donk really small to protect my equity. And he raises, and I don't believe. So I call. And the turn is a seven, and I check, and he bets a lot, and I call, and the river's an X, and I check, and he just gives up, and I turn over nines, and win a nice pot. And the next note is, bong is dirty. And if you, I don't even know if they use bongs anymore, stoners. You guys use bongs anymore? Is it all like vape and edibles and shit? When I was coming up, I was never much of a stoner. I smoked some weed, but I was never much of a stoner. I'm a drinker. But I had a lot of stoner friends, and there's nothing worse than a dirty bong. Fucking stinks. If bong water spills on the carpet, it's nasty, right? Well, that's not what's going on here. The dealer's name is Bong, and he's just a very lovable guy at Ocean's 11. And I just wrote Bong is dirty because I squeezed with Queen Deuce from the small blind, and it came Queen 8-7, and I lost to 10-9, the neck guy. And I lost, a pretty decent sized pot. Flop top pair, and he just turned the open ender, and then the river's a brick, perfect, and I just paid it off. Yeah, so I opened and the Triathlete Pro 3-bet, and I called with ace-5 suited, and it came ace-5-3. Whoa. And I checked, and he bet, and I called. And the turn, I'm just going to probably raise a lot of turns or let him value town himself, or hopefully the turn will bring like a flush draw and I can check jam and get paid off if he has a bigger ace. The turn's a king, not my favorite card. He 3-bet preflop. I had ace-5 suited. He has ace-king in position. I called the 3-bet and came, you know, we're shorthanded. It's late. It's 2-5-10. Ace-5-3 is the flop. Check call, and the turn's a king, and I check and he bets. Call. I don't like that card. River's a 10. I check. He bets and I fold. So I like how I played this hand. I don't like how the board, I don't like how Bong did me dirty, but I do like how I played this hand. I pretty sure I got unlucky on the turn, and that's okay. That happens. He had a better hand preflop, and it's time for a hand against Camo Guy. Who's Camo Guy? Oh, just this Asian guy listening to music with sunglasses on, and he's in all camo. So this is someone you're probably not going to even show gloves to or talk shit to because he might fucking kill you. He might pull out a fucking dagger and kill you. I don't know. I had a friend growing up whose dad was a Green Beret and he was a scary motherfucker. And I don't know if this guy's a Green Beret or not or if he just likes camouflage. But he's Camo Guy. And it's blind versus blind. It's shorthanded. 2-5-10. And I'm the 10. And he calls $5 more. He's on my right. He's playing very tight, very solid, I guess you could say. And I'm playing more hands. We're shorthanded. I'm squeezing. I'm stealing. I'm in there, right? Well, I have 6-3 offsuit. I just check with from the 10. So we got 20 in there plus the small blind, which, you know, that's going down the rake hole so fast it doesn't even matter. So it comes king 6-3 with 2 spades, okay? And this guy bets. This guy's been, you know, he's pretty straightforward. So he bets, and I raise. I have 2 pair. I hope he has a king. And he calls. And then the turn's an offsuit 10. And he checks, and I bet a lot. I know my image. And he calls. And the river's an offsuit queen. So king 6-3 and a limper. I'm the 10. He's the 5. He puts 5 more in, and I check. And it comes king 6-3, 2 spades. He bets, raise, right? Because I can just do this shit, right, against him. Against a triathlete pro, I got to play differently. You got to play differently against different players. I think that makes sense at a poker table. Anyways, I know my image. I know what this guy's thinking of me, right? And I've been to the bar, whatever. And I raise with bottom two. And the turn is an offsuit 10. And he checks. And I bet a lot. I know he's going to, you know, I know my image. And I don't bet, like, all in, but I bet a lot. And he calls. And the river's a queen, offsuit queen. And he checks, and I bet, and he goes all in. Pfft, motherfucker. So what happened here? If he bet this flop and called the, he probably had like jack nine of spades or ace jack of spades. He probably was the guy that had a flush draw and made a straight, and I folded. So I don't know. I'm not even curious. When people take strong lines against me, I'm not even curious in red chip world. No. You show me a bluff. Someone, please show me a bluff one time. I don't know. I just fold. Yeah. And, you know, I call Bong. I tell Bong he's dirty. And he's great. He's dirty. And there's a new player in. We're shorthanded. 2-5-10. I open with ace-queen. And this person calls. And it comes king-jack-x. And he leads pretty weak. Call with ace-queen. King-jack-x. Turn x. Very small bet. Call. And then the river is a... pairs like a bottom card, and This new player bets really small. I call with ace queen. King jack X, I get donked into three times. And this guy had queen jack. Fuck. So, played their hand perfectly against me, actually. And it's time for me to add on. And the hand against the camel guy was, yeah, that one hurt. I was going for the value. And I, just like when I flopped two pair, I flopped two pair twice now and was going for the value and had to fold to river all ins. And it's okay. And I'm stuck. And I, all my money is on the table at this point. And queen nine of hearts. And I pop it. And the neck. And that's just a guy that's a nice Asian guy that plays there. And like he just, one night he did something weird with his neck when he was bluffing. And I was able to use that like an Oreo tell and call with ace king for the pot, my biggest pot of the night on 8-7-5-9-4. Yeah, all on the turn and river. And yeah, so what? It's three ways. It's me, neck, and triathlete pro, who's, you know, very solid player, good player. And the flop comes king XX with a heart. I have queen nine of hearts. I'm the pre-flop aggressor guy. So I bet. And the neck calls and triathlete pro folds. And this is a bloater. And turn is a jack of hearts. So I just turned a straight flush draw, right? And I have queen nine of hearts. It's king XX, king of hearts, jack of hearts. And he checks, and I go all in here. It's, you know, it should fold out his kings, I think, you know. Well, he has king jack. Motherfucker. He calls, but river's a small heart. So I was stuck. I got in with a combo draw against two pair on the turn, and I got there. And if you've been listening to this podcast since the beginning, I used to never get there, and I got there, and now I'm unstuck. And so this session is very swingy, but many of them are, and I don't, you know, I took a strong line, and I had a good hand to do it with, and I just ran into him turning two pair. And it's a cooler that the money went in like that, and then it's a bink, and that's nice. And let me take another sip of coffee. Okay. And then the new player, though, is a problem. This guy is running like God. And I wrote, it's time to put him in a box. So I get a little morbid and weird at the table. And I don't mean it literally, I don't think. Tom Brady Jr. Anyways, this guy wins 500 from me with 10-3 offsuit. Called, defended with 10-3 offsuit, and I had jacks, and it came 3-3-7, two-tone, 10-8. And this guy won 500. So I bet the flop, and I think I bet the turn, and I don't know what happened. But maybe I called the river or something. I don't know. Lost 500 there. This hand's interesting, I believe. It's a limp pot, which, you know, it's fine. I'm the straddle. And sometimes people are trapping me, and sometimes they're just limping. And I have 6-4, and I just check, right? And it comes 4-3 deuce. And we check, and the new player bets in position. And I call with 6-4, and the triathlete pro calls on 4-3 deuce, rainbow. And the turn's a 5, turn a straight. I check, and, you know, we're hoping the new player is kind of special. Just had 10-3 offsuit, and really hope the new player has an ace, because then it's go time, right? And but unfortunately, this one gets checked around. 4-3 deuce. I have 6-4 in a limper. I just checked my option, and we checked to the last player, and he bet, and I called, and the triathlete pro called, and I turned straight. Yeah. And then I checked, triathlete pro checked, and the new player checked, unfortunately. Okay, and the river's a king, and I bet 2/3, right? Well, now the triathlete pro raises me 3x, and the new player folds, and I fold. I don't think this is anything but 6-7, and I think it's a, I don't know. I'm never curious. I just never am. It's, well, first of all, it's never a bluff. I have all the 6-7s, and I'm not a good candidate to bluff. I mean, it doesn't seem like I'm at the table, but if you listen to this podcast, you know I fold every single act of aggression in red chip poker. But, yeah, so I don't know. It's just a, I suppose it could have been pocket sevens, blocker. No, it's not. It's just 7-6. It's just what it is. Okay. Now I, you know, I'm starving for some action. So I raised dark to 25. We're four-handed. So that means I'm just opening the button to 25. I said when I played heads up, I used to open the button dark. Well, four-handed, sure. I'll just go to 25 dark. And this should stir up some action. And it's good. I like being dark preflop. And they all fold. And I look down at pocket eights. You motherfuckers. And then I'm the straddle. And I get pocket aces and I get a walk. And this is, what the fuck? Like, the new player was in there with 10-3 offsuit before. And now they just all fold on my aces. And that's okay. It's fine. Now it's time for me to defend versus camo. And it's just a Asian guy listening to music, not talking to anyone, shades on, in all camo. And I'm going to be nice to this person so they don't slit my throat. I don't know. I don't know if they're, I don't know what their deal is. They're fine. They're a camo guy. And opens, right? And I'm the 10 again. And I call. And it comes 6-5-3. I have 4-3 offsuit, right? But I'm going to defend. In position, you know, shorthanded. Let's go. This is, you know, how my kids got spoiled. Shorthanded games late at night. It's true. That's how they, you know, live in that house where they live. And they've had everything, good schools and all that. It's because people play shorthanded in the middle of the night. So I'm going to defend very wide. You know, there's some hands I'll fold. But 4-3 offsuit ain't one of them. Great flop for me, 6-5-3. He checks. I'm betting, right? I'm not betting big because I have all the equity, right? And but he has, you know, probably 2 overcards. And he calls. Turns a 6. He checks. Okay, now I can bluff. I can make it look like a bluff and go for value. And I bet. And he calls. 6-5-3, 6. I have 4-3. I know he has 2 overcards. River's a queen, and he leads moderate. And this is a bad play. I called, and he had ace-queen. So he did get very lucky, but I can just fold to that river lead, and I shouldn't be trying to bluff it against this guy. I don't know enough, and my image is what it is, and it's too high variance to go for a bluff here, shorthanded. It's just his hand is what I thought it was, right? 2 overs, and then I should just fold to that river. So I don't know, you know, he got lucky, but I didn't need to pay off the moderate river bet. And then I bluffed the new player, but there's a good chance I had the best hand. I don't know. You know, when people come into a game at, like, you know, 2 or 3 in the morning, who knows what they're doing, right? And I opened with pocket fours, and they defended, and it came 9-5-3. And I just checked back, and the turn was a 3, and I called. And the river was an ace, and they checked. And I bet a lot, just, you know, I rep the ace real well here, and they folded, and I probably had the best hand anyways. And let me take another sip of coffee and give you another, you know, mediocre hand history, and then we got to check the scoreboard, see how we're doing. Okay, so this is I didn't take great notes here, but shorthanded 4 in the morning or 5 in the morning, whatever time it is, it's something in the morning, right? And you're just going to be playing hands and talking and keeping the game going and doing little things and picking up on it. You're not going to be taking the best notes. But I did river a set in a pot against the new player and just went to show it because it put a 4 card straight out there. And so I didn't bet. I just, like, I think it was 7, 8, 9 and I had 6s and came like X6. And I just checked and I turned over my hand and the new player had ace jack, so they river, or like king jack or something, they rivered a straight, and neither the new player nor the dealer realized it, and they started to push me the pot, and I had to correct them. It's always fun correcting that, where you're like, nope, I didn't win this one. But anyways, the game broke, it dissolved, and I played for 6 hours total, and I booked another W. I won almost a life. Very swingy. Could have easily lost. I got there with the Queen 9 of Hearts on King XX. King of Hearts turned Jack of Hearts against King Jack. Very fortunate. I got a mini bailout against the whale when I had queen nine and he had 9-7, and it came 9-8x, two clubs, and then turn seven and he bet, and then river queen of clubs, and I was able to use his sizing as a towel and jam over his blocker bet and get, you know. So I got bailed out several times in this session, and yeah, I was up over 1,000 right away, and 6 hours later I book a smaller win than that, and that's okay. I'm putting in the hours. That's all you can do. And yeah, I don't know. So let's it's definitely time to go home and get some sleep. So it's, I don't know what time it is, but the bar closed at 2, which means, you know, a couple hours later you can drive. Before I go home, please walk with me to go cash out my 6th win in a row. So 112 in a row, then I lost 2 in a row, and now 16 in a row. And then let's just go cash out real quick, and if you don't mind, can you all of you walk me to my car? Because remember, someone had a gun the other night in the Ocean's 11 parking lot. And I'll read the STP scores off my giant phone. All right, so come with me to cash out. They're very fast. Oh, yeah, perfect. Exactly. Here you go. Thank you. Okay, now follow me outside into this sometimes sketchy parking lot. And we got to get to my trusty old Lexus, which I used to park in this same parking lot in 2008, and it was brand new, like right off the lot, right? And that was after I went into the dealership with cargo pants on, filled with $100 bills. And yeah, so it's a, what are we, 13 years later, and this car might be worth a few lives now, maybe, maximum, and it's approaching 300,000 miles. So that's a new pro becoming a vet, and a, you know, a new car becoming an old one. Anyways, let's check out the scores on my phone. Okay. The first line under STP, just on NGC.com, NevadaGameCommission.com, and you just go to the sessions thing. Well, the first line under STP says hours 223 of 210. So, first of all, that makes sense. We had 213 hours after week 20, and I played 10 more hours than week 21. 6 in the session you just heard about, and 4 in the first session I played this week, a meetup game of sorts at the Sahara in Las Vegas. And if you want to hear about that Sahara session, which, as alluded to, was a W, because even though I'm not ready to play the biggest games yet, I do have the fire to win again, and even old vets can run hot for a while. It's true. I didn't think it was true, but it's true. Anyways, you can listen to that session review and actually any drop of sessions ever recorded, including some amazing interviews, Matt Berkey, Garrett Allestein, and others, by getting your own RSS feed at patreon.com/DGAFPokerPlayer for $4.22 a month or more. Yeah, and it's easy. Cheap and easy, right? Kind of like me. No, that's not true. But, what? Yeah, just sign up, and the RSS feed thing is, it sounds, you know, to a boomer like me, it sounds sketch. Hooking up an RSS feed, you literally just click on something, and then joining the community, all you do is go to dgfcommunity.com, and you create a screen name and a password, and if you're active on Patreon, it lets you in. Beautiful. Okay. All right, now, on my giant phone, the second line under STP says, poker rags, 517 of 386. So that's real strong overall. We didn't have a big week, but that is real strong overall. And the, you know, the hours thing, that's something I can control, right? That's an easy way for me to put points on the board. It's just by putting in hours. And if I wasn't on pace to hit my goal on hours, that would be very problematic, right? All I got to do is play 10 a week. And as busy as I am, I can find 10 hours a week, right? And that's good. So this one, though, depends more on the team I'm building behind me, Poker Eggs, which is getting bigger, right? And, you know, that's strong. 517 to 386. The company's taking off. It's, you know, we're still a startup, but we're still working through stuff and learning processes and all that. But it's going well. So let's hear who scored points for us in week 21. Who the MVP was, and who got Employee of the Week. So Ruben in Monich, Gladbach, Germany got us a point. And I know that's exactly how you pronounce that town. Thank you, Ruben. And then Rathbun in Loudon, New Hampshire, a patron got us a point. And it says asterisk punter shirt. And there's a new design at Poker Rags, and it's a football player punter. He's even got the punter face mask, and he is just punting a bag of cash. And it's a good design. And I believe Rathbun was the first customer of this design. And then Telos in Skokie, Illinois. You may have heard me interview him. It was he's an incredible thinker. He got a point. So he got a nice item. You know, just a comfortable thing to wear that makes yourself and others smile. And put a point on the board. Yeah. So did Kevin in Ontario, Canada. Thank you, Kevin. So did Chi in Burnaby, California. Thank you, Chi. Hopefully I said your name right. And Christopher in Santa Ana, California got 2 points. Thank you, Christopher. And then Sam in Chicago, Illinois got 2 points. And now it's time to find out who got MVP for week 21. Your most valuable purchaser for week 21, season 4 of Sessions, is none other than no one. Yep. It says no MVP this week. You got to score 3 points or more to qualify. I didn't know that. Sorry about that. Sorry, sound guy, I know you queued up that MVP music or chant and the soundbite, whatever the fuck it's called. And yeah, so we only got 9 points this week for Poker Rags. It's been doing well overall. It was an off week, but I do want to thank everyone who put up points this week. And I didn't know you had to have 3 points to qualify for MVP. So hopefully we have an MVP next week. And it does say Employee of the Week, though. And it says Jody. And that's Jody Savage of Raising the Nuts. And it says Glue Girl. Oh, okay. So I think what Nevada Gaming Commission means is in team sports or in basketball, that someone, one of those talking heads or commentators or whatever, talks about a glue guy, right? Someone that just makes everything work. And Jody is that person at Poker Rags. And so Glue Girl, and that's what they put in parentheses. So congratulations, Jody. You've won this award many times. We all appreciate you. And let's get this. And thank you to everybody who put those 9 points on the board. So an off week for sure, but we appreciate those of you who did order, and putting on points on the board towards a fifth season of Sessions next year, and almost certainly the last season. You guys are part of the story. And if you listening would like to become part of this story too by putting points on the board to hopefully keep this fucking podcast going for one more year, and or you just want really comfortable clothing, right, that makes people smile. That's good. Smiles are good. Just head over to pokeregs.us and just start clicking, man. Just click away. Yeah. And remember, anything from Sessions, including the Cine design, yeah, I'm telling them about it right now. It puts 2 points on the board instead of one. Okay, on my phone, and, you know, thank you for walking me out here to my car. It's late, you know, people might have seen me cash out, and yeah, okay. So the third score under STP says results 54 of 43. So we are crushing this line now, and that's good. I've been winning a lot lately, as you've almost certainly noticed, and I'm focused on winning, and that just means I'm just not paying anyone off. I'm not letting curiosity get me. I'm not tilting as much. If I tilt, I just, you know, go for a walk, go to the bar, whatever. I don't try and squeeze with a horrible hand, and I'm running way better. I don't. That's the most important ingredient, obviously. But 54 of 43, that's good. So, not ready for the tough games yet. That's what this week's about, is being honest with myself that I got a lot of work to do, mainly on my schedule. That's, and then also mindset stuff, more than anything else, and maybe some other like fundamental stuff. But I got a lot of work to do. I know that. But, you know, I'm playing in games that aren't tough. And, you know, for now, that's fine. I'm still telling this story 4 times a week and doing a bunch of other shit and building a community. And it's okay. I'll hopefully continue to win at a nice rate. Okay. The fourth score under STP on my phone, you can't see it because I have this screen that makes it dark if you're on the side, but I'll just tell you. It says Patron's 192 of 210. So I don't like not hitting goals or being on pace to hit goals. It doesn't feel good, right? And this is pretty important. It's a pretty important line on the scoreboard. It's my salary. So I need more Patrons, right? I need to help lighten the load for the Patrons that are there paying, you know, just supporting me so generously. I would love to just have strength in numbers, right? Just have a bunch of people that want all the content and they want to be part of the community, and then people don't have to be at such outrageously high numbers, which I, you know, for now you guys are keeping me afloat, but for both our sakes, I need to get more Patrons. So let's see what happened. In this week, Andadu gave me a raise to a straddle, and I appreciate that. And Andadu has been on Slack. That's what happens. For $4.20 a month, you get all the drops of sessions and you get access to the forum. It's 2+2 with no nits, no trolls. Fuck that shit. You want to do that shit? Go to 2+2. You want to be chill. You want to be communal. You want to meet people that are different than you, but believe in we're all the same. We're all, you know, not the same, but equal. Come to dgfcommunity.com, right? And then if you go twice the ask, you get on Slack, which is social media with those same type of people. And there's, you know, you can bet sports, you know, VIG free, and you can do a bunch of cool stuff. And it's just a really good social media, right? Not perfect, but our Slack group is pretty great. And Mad Treble signed up. Boom, 4 points. Thank you, Mad Treble. Welcome. And then Craig Seddon signed up. Another 4 points. Thank you very much, Craig. And then Corn-Fed Korean gave me a raise to straddle, just like Andadu did. And both of these people have already been active on Slack, and it's cool. I hope they continue to, you know, check out all the channels, find the stuff that interests you, right? Pets, kids, music, shows, gambling, whatever it is, right? Bitcoin, all that stuff. And then SD Gen went from $16.88 to $51 a month. SD Gen, you are something. This is someone I met through content, and as the wise Trevor Savage said, that's the best thing about doing content is meeting people you wouldn't get to meet otherwise. And this is someone I spent a good amount of time with in Las Vegas, and just a really good person and funny and fun and all that, and just gave me a very generous raise. And you know what? That did not make me sad when I got that email from Patreon. Not at all. And we scored 8 points this week. So we got to score 10 a week. And we're 18 behind pace. But that's cool. Thank you, everyone that showed up in the box score this week. And now for the score, the fifth and final score under STP. It's the consolidation of the four scores you just heard about. It's called Countdown to 2022. Because if we score 2022 points, that's 2022, total this year, well, Sessions lives on in the year 2022, which is next year. Pretty cool. Okay, and this one says 986 of 849. So the pace is 849. That's how we get to 2022. You got to be at 849 at this point in the journey, right? 42% of the way through the journey. We're at 986. We're ahead of it. We're doing well. So it looks like this podcast will live on for another year. At least it looks like that for right now. And that's great. I want it to. I want to come correct in season 5. I already know what I want to call it. I already know what intro music and outro music I want to use. Just hopefully it becomes a thing. And even if it does, I need to work on getting more Patrons. I need to, I've started with the help of Jeb Beach, started doing some Instagram work. Just putting sound bites out there. Well, hopefully that'll help. And before we say our goodbyes, I want to give a special thank you to everyone who's put points on this board this year. It's make or break. That's real. If I get 2021 points, Sessions is dead. It's over. I got to take it outside like whatever dog that was in that one sad movie. It's true. But anyways, I also really want to thank all the patrons for their continued support. You all are something, and I'll see all of you, or you'll hear from me on Monday and Tuesday on your RSS feeds for those patron-only drops, right? And then I'll see everyone else next Thursday for the week 22 session plus scoreboard check. And whether you are a patron or not, whether you listen to Sessions Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, or just Thursday and Friday, I highly recommend you fill your Wednesday podcast slot with my favorite podcast, Serial. No. I mean, you should probably check that podcast out. At least season one. It's great. But not on Wednesdays. Wednesdays belong to my actual favorite podcast, Raising the Nuts. And I just got a message from Nevada Gaming Commission. It's a late edition. So before I get in my trusty old Lexus and drive back to my granny flat to work more on my grind and you guys go back to your own grinds, let me just tell you what this message says from Nevada Gaming Commission. It says, anyone who leaves a 5-star review for Raising the Nuts, which I already did, in the next 7 days will also put a point on this STP scoreboard. So that's an interesting move by them, and I like it. I hope you enjoyed this drop of Sessions. If you are a patron, thank you. And if you're not a patron, well, I don't know what to tell you. Huh? Princess, I'm doing the outro. And that's a lot of stuff. Princess, I know, we're trying. Larger than life. I guess I'm gonna need some help then. Princess, I hope the listeners go to patreon.com/DGAF poker player. Because otherwise,